From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Russian President Vladimir Putin has won re-election that happened Sunday, and former CIA officer and attorney Jack Rice just returned from Russia.
It was very clear from the beginning that Vladimir Putin would win this election. He excluded his potential rivals, made sure that they were kept off of television, and then, believe it or not, campaigned intensely in the country to make sure that he had huge numbers in his column.
Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe deployed teams of observers to monitor the election. Reporters asked the head of the OSCE mission, Jan Petersen, if any regularities were observed.
We have reports from 291 teams throughout the whole of Russia, which means that we have a lot of information to process before we can give the full picture. And I think it's very, very important that we do not voice any opinion based on a very limited number of observations.
Putin's victory will take his political dominance of Russia until 2024, when he'll be 71 years old. President Trump accusing special counsel Robert Mueller of political bias in his investigation of the Trump 2016 election campaign and possible links to Russia, and whether the president obstructed justice in trying to stop the probe. Trump lawyers suggested ending the Trump in the Mueller investigation. Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza has set May 17th for a referendum to extend his rule. Burundi has been embroiled in political turmoil since he decided to seek a third term in 2015. Referendum could amend the constitution to extend presidential terms. This is VOA News. Turkish forces and their Syrian rebel allies swept into northwestern Syrian town of Afrin on Sunday, raising their flags in the town center and declaring full control after an 8-week campaign to drive out the Kurdish YPG forces. Trinity University Middle East scholar David Lesh tells VOA this is a win for Turkey.
It's a significant victory for Turkey with regard to its strategic interest in Syria, and it really reshuffles the diplomatic deck in several ways in terms of a potential political settlement in Syria, in that now Turkey has a much bigger seat at the table with this victory, rather than, you know, if they had been bogged down in a quagmire for months and months and then had to withdraw.
Syrian Kurds are threatening a new stepped-up guerrilla war following the Turkish incursion in Afrin, which is a Kurdish enclave. Turkey regards the YPG as part of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the guerrilla group that has been fighting for a separate Kurdish state that would include part of Turkey. A senior North Korean diplomat will be in Finland for talks with former U.S. and South Korean officials amid a series of diplomatic encounters ahead of a possible summit between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. North Korean and Swedish foreign ministers ended 3 days of talks over the weekend on security regarding the Korean Peninsula. Robert Manning is a senior fellow at the Brent Scowcroft Center for International Security. That's at the Atlantic Council.
The meeting that was more interesting and serious is the one in Sweden, where the North Korean foreign minister just left from. Sweden, as you know, represents U.S. interests in Pyongyang. I find it hard to imagine that they didn't have some talking points from the State Department, even though the meeting was, as far as we know, only between the Swedes and the North Koreans.
In an interview on the CBS News program Face the Nation, South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa noted that Kim Jong-un has met conditions for talks by making a commitment to denuclearization.
He's given his word, but the significance of his word is quite weighty in the sense that this is the first time that the words came directly from the North Korean supreme leader himself.
Kang stressed that Kim will receive no reward for engaging in dialogue, and that South Korea and the United States will be pressing the North Korean leader to take unspecified actions in order that there would be progress. Li Xu, a key economic advisor to China's President Xi Jinping, has been elected by parliament to be a vice premier, while Vice Central Bank President Yi Gang will be voted to take the helm of the People's Bank of China.
That's the latest world news from VOA.